I'm a first-year PhD student working on the BASIS study, which is the British Autism Study of Infant Siblings. And so I'm specifically working with the STARS cohort, looking at infants who have an older brother or sister who either has ASD or ADHD. And so I'm just sort of starting my PhD on the project, and I'll be looking into language development in ASD and or ADHD. I think it's been very interesting and varied, and I think you'll hear a lot sort of when you speak to different people who have worked with people who have autism, that once you've met one autistic person, you've only met one autistic person. So I think for me, it's been an interesting learning curve to not generalize sort of what I know from like a clinical background or like from a psychology background, and just sort of really get to know people personally. I'd definitely say getting to work with families on assessment days. It's really interesting to meet different families and different infants, and I think to the child it can just seem like we're playing all day. And I think that's quite an interesting part for me, because we're sort of looking at various measures and looking at sort of collecting different bits of data. But I think it's just important to make sure the family overall has a good day, and that they're sort of they feel like they're contributing as well to the research that we're doing. The family would sort of arrive maybe around 9:30, 10. And depending on if it's a two-year visit or a three-year visit, we would start off maybe with some developmental scales, and then sort of move on into the lab and do some eye tracking before doing some more sort of like behavioural tasks, so like touch screen tasks with the child. And while all this is going on, Greg, my colleague, is usually sort of interviewing the parent as well. And then we would go on to do some more behavioural tasks and then stop for lunch. And then once the family are back, we would possibly finish off some more of the developmental scales and then move into the lab to do some EEG. So we put an EEG cap on the child, which can always go either way. Either the child will really enjoy it and get very involved with their special space cap, or they won't like it at all. And then we will move on to do some more either developmental scales or observation schedules. And throughout the day, mum's got loads of questionnaires, usually if mum has come along, or dad, to fill out questionnaires. And that would be ending the day around sort of 3:30-ish on a typical day. during the day, so we do have skin conductance stickers on the child as well. So we have them on the child's back, and that measures skin conductivity essentially. But also we have measures of heart rate during the day. So that's one sort of way of measuring, possibly looking into anxiety. So you could be looking at, for example, like heart rate variability or the variability in skin conductance during a certain paradigm or a certain task. But also, for example, you could look at it in a behavioural aspect and sort of look at changes in facial expressions, or perhaps, for example, there's also questionnaires. And so we ask from the parent's perspective what their insight into their child's anxiety is as well. So it might sort of be, I'm trying to think of specific ones, but we collected like a variety of different questionnaires. And so some of the questions will be tapping into some sort of anxiety measures that they might notice in the child. I'm trying to think of other ways. So it really does depend on sort of in what context you're looking at it, and also how you're going to quantify it. And I think that's how it's interesting. It varies so much across, like if you think about research papers, some papers will only sort of look at it from an experimental perspective. So like you said, heart rate or skin conductance or along those lines. And then others will perhaps only look at it from a behavioural perspective and looking maybe their facial expressions or hesitance to get involved in maybe a task, just different sort of aspects. I think it's interesting to look at them together though, and not always look at them separately. Yeah, I can't count the number of tasks that we do in a day. There's quite a few. There's one task that my colleague developed where there's sort of different episodes. And so a stranger will come into the room. And so during that time, the child's heart rate is being measured and the skin conductance is being measured using the biopack. And so after that sort of episode, the stranger will start to, for example, play with some sort of cups. And so it's seeing, oh, is the child hesitant to approach the stranger, or do they get involved in playing with the stranger? And so it's easy in those sort of assessments to sort of take notes to say, for example, the child immediately might have retreated back to mum, and that sort of might be an indicator that the child is either feeling quite anxious or quite apprehensive. But at the same time, not always. It might just be it's a very, very normal thing for if a stranger comes in the room to go to the most familiar adult in the room. So I guess it's also striking the balance between not reading too much into the different things you see in the day and sort of having your researcher cap on and really sort of saying, okay, I'm looking at anxiety or whatever measure it is using these specific boundaries. And I think that's important across research and sort of making things comparable and understanding things a bit better, sort of being very, very clear about what it is you're saying, how you're quantifying what you're looking at in different paradigms. And the kids do work really hard and we do appreciate that. And I think that's why it's so important for us, like that the families really feel involved and that they are enjoying their day and that it's, we are asking a lot throughout the day and the kids usually get through it. Yeah, that's a good question, especially because I'm sort of at the earlier stages of things. But for me, sort of the long-term goal is to really be making a difference to families and individuals' lives. So even though sort of we're on the research side of things and looking into various different aspects, I think for me, it's important that everything that we're doing ultimately will help to improve people's quality of life and people's understanding around and about autism and sort of breaking down stigma. I think it's important to make a difference to individuals and families ultimately. It's appreciating differences. And I think sort of, I think through various discussions I've had and sort of attending different events, a lot of the discussion can be where, like you said, where some aspects of research might be trying to sort of almost like correct or change things. But I think unless it's sort of an issue or if it's sort of negatively affecting someone's life, then I think there's the whole debate as to what extent is something an issue. So striking the difference between an issue and a difference. And I think it's important as a researcher, and I think, like you said, to respect that boundary, because I find that research can investigate almost everything and anything. But I think it's important to put into perspective like the findings and things that we're looking at and understand sort of to what extent that we are being appreciative and respectful to those with autism and understanding that actually everything that we're looking at might not necessarily need to be corrected. But I think just to gain a better, I think it's always good to gain a better understanding of something, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a problem or an issue, if that makes any coherent sense at all. I think for me, it's always been, like I said before, interesting to know that. So I've been making a difference. And I think that's why I specifically enjoy working on this project, because I get to work with real families and real people rather than sort of only ever looking at sort of data sets and being stuck behind a computer all day for my PhD. I think it's really enjoyable to have a nice balance for me. I enjoy sort of being able to have that sort of really intense sort of research side of things where I am looking at data, but also when I am sort of helping out on assessment days where I'm meeting families and I'm interacting with younger children and just engaging in general conversation with parents. I think it gives real varied insight into different families' lives. So I think, yeah, that's that's for me. I think definitely depends to what sort of depth the conversation is, whether it's just sort of day-to-day chit-chat, maybe about the weather or something, but versus sort of having a discussion about sort of different things that they might notice about their child. Or I always find it quite nice when a parent is quite shocked at what their child can do on a testing day. And that's quite, it's quite a nice sort of thing to observe and to see, especially because I guess a lot of the stuff that we might be asking the child to do typically on a day-to-day basis, they might not be doing. So I think that's quite nice. And that's quite insightful as well, when parents are sort of surprised or shocked that actually, oh, their child can do something that they never imagined they would be doing. So the children that we see are essentially at high susceptibility of autism or ADHD because their older sibling will have either all the disorders. But I think, so in that sense, it makes me happy knowing that the family's taking part in the research, because a lot of the time they also want to be making a difference in the long run. So it's nice to sort of feel like we're on the same page in that sense when we're sort of getting involved in assessment days, and that hopefully that our sort of perspectives align in that sense. So it's not like us as researchers, we're doing one completely different thing and the family thinks that they're involved in something else. So I'd like to, or I'd hope that there's sort of overlap in that sense. I think part of that I'm already doing, so sort of working on a longitudinal project, looking at development across time. I think that's a key thing rather than sort of just looking at sort of snapshots. I think looking cross-sectionally has its benefits, but I think really being able to sort of look at development as it develops across a child's life, I think that's important. But anything, I think a lot of the time I sort of have sort of, well, I guess being in research, you have those moments throughout a day, like, and they'll come and go. I think sometimes I will often think about sort of the interaction between the parents and children. So the children that we see, because they're at high susceptibility, so they don't necessarily have a diagnosis of either autism or ADHD yet. But I think for me, it'd be interesting to sort of map different aspects of like parent and child interactions and specifically, for example, looking at things that co-occur with autism, like anxiety, looking at things like, for example, like recently just generally interested in like eye contact and eye gaze and how much that would sort of relate to anxiety. Either in the parent or in the child, and sort of I think it would be interesting to look at that before reaching a diagnosis and also thereafter, just to sort of see how that develops, just in case sort of you think that you might not get the reaction that you expect. I think sometimes it can be easier to sort of avert, I guess, whether this is conscious or not, I have no clue, but I think sort of averting gaze before someone else does, I think it's sort of, I don't know if it's like an avoidance or, yeah, trying to sort of reduce that anxiety, if anything. I think because I've always thought it's quite interesting how anxiety is sort of captured or sort of like quantified within research. And I think that varies so much like project to project. But I think you'll definitely see with the children that we see that you'll see children who might sort of be more likely to sort of, or they might take a bit more time to sort of warm to us as researchers, or for example staying quite close to the parent, and sort of these sort of different aspects might sort of be proxy for anxiety. But I think it's very difficult to sort of quantify and specifically identify like across a, I'm thinking sort of across an assessment day with the little ones that we see. But I think you definitely notice different sort of, whether it's a facial expression, whether it's checking with mum if something's okay before they can do something. I think you definitely notice these sort of anxious traits. I think especially because you can see these things. These kids are as young as 2 and 3, and like I said, they haven't received a diagnosis of autism or ADHD yet. And I think just thinking developmentally, it's interesting that you can sort of see these aspects as early on as that age. Definitely encourage it. And I'd say it's important to sort of be open-minded sort of going into research. And I think it's easy to think that everything's been answered within research and that all the questions have sort of been ticked and there's nothing left. But actually, I think it's important to really care about what you're doing so that you don't sort of lose the motivation along the way, but also to not be afraid to think outside the box. I think that's something that I've learned over time, that surprisingly, sort of speaking to like supervisors and people who have been sort of above me in that sort of sense, is that they appreciate it when you come and approach a problem or a question in a different perspective. And sometimes they may not have thought about that. And it's very easy to sort of think as your supervisor, sort of all-knowing and that they have all the answers. But I think they really appreciate when you do sort of think in a different perspective. So not to be afraid or to sort of lose that curiosity if you are going into research. Definitely, I think it's, like I said, it's very easy to think that you don't know anything. And I think I've been told time and time again to sort of give myself more credit in that you learn stuff. Regardless of what you're doing over time, you'll pick up stuff and you learn stuff. So it's not that you don't know anything. You're still sort of on that journey of learning more about something. And I think it's just important to share, well, in my experience, to share with my seniors or my supervisors where I'm sort of thinking that I don't know something or I feel quite uncertain about something, because actually you can get quite a lot of reassurance, and it's quite helpful to have that conversation with someone who has been doing research for years, much longer, a lot of them much longer than I've been alive, and I really appreciate that sort of wisdom into a subject, and there's so much to be learned as a student from that.